Hello, this is Corey Conway. I'm in History 225 with Professor Friss. It is November 4th, 2015, 9:43 a.m. I'm currently here with my sweet mate, AJ Williams. AJ, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's AJ. I'm from Annapolis, Maryland, and I'm going to tell you my story of working in a cafe in the back of a bookstore and how it impacted my life.
Okay, so I guess go ahead and start with that, AJ, then we'll get into it.
So the story is, I was originally applying for a job at an ice cream store. By the way, I'm from Annapolis. If you're familiar with Annapolis, there's a large sort of gap in wealth. There's a lot of really, really rich people and really, really poor people. And I'm going to get into how this bookstore sort of united the two. To talk a little bit about the area, it was on a stretch of land right behind the main, sort of the main street called Main Street. This little road, it's surrounded by a parking garage and then a bunch of law offices. And at first I, applied for a job at a ice cream shop that was, pretty popular with some of, like, the more locals and then the occasional tourist, but, they were full. They weren't really looking for employees. So I moved to the coffee shop next door, which happened to be in the back of a bookstore. I worked there pretty much all summer. I was basically almost full-time. You want to know, like, what do you want to know about, like, my experiences there?
I mean, coming as a person who doesn't read all too often. I mean, I've been in Barnes and Nobles and bookstores before, but I've never been one to, you know, optionally go into bookstores. I've never been one to, you know, just sit down and read for fun. I just never, I guess, got into that whole entire thing, which is, I mean, it's not really a bad thing on my part. I should definitely get into it now, but I guess, what turns you to, the whole entire bookstore life, I guess, like being able to read, going into bookstores, I guess enjoying it from a different perspective, you know?
Well, I started off kind of like you. I wasn't a huge reader. I was more into, like, kind of just going outside and exploring and doing stuff, but, I was sort of like, I didn't apply for the bookstore part, but more the coffee shop part, but when I was, you know, constantly being surrounded by books and readers, it kind of drew me to it and got me curious. So once I started kind of reading more often, I started seeing the benefits of it. Like I said, I'm a big, like, explorer. I love trying new things and adventures. And I think you can kind of get that in a book. You know, like, I'm an actor, so I like to kind of put myself in other shoes. And I feel like when I'm reading, I am the main character. You know, I'm really living out their experiences. And I think if you find the right book, it's an amazing, amazing experience that can't be replicated. So that's, I'm really happy that I kind of, you know, accidentally became a big reader, because I never would have if I didn't have this job.
I guess the next question to follow suit would be, what is your favorite book?
I had a fear you would ask me that. I'm going to be honest, let's come back to that one.
Come back to that one?
Let's come back to that one.
I think my favorite book was Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha. I read it freshman year of high school. Probably one of the only books I fully read without skimming. And
wait, what was it?
Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse.
Siddhartha?
It's a great book. I highly recommend it.
All right, I haven't read that one. I'll get to that.
So did anything ever happen when you were around the bookstore in the coffee shop? Is there any, like, cool stories, anything exciting ever happened, or was it just a boring bookstore?
Oh, tons. It was, you would get the weirdest of people. Well, not weird, like, weird in a good way, I'd say. Like, this one gentleman came in, and, he proceeded to kind of, we got in conversation, and he kind of told me his life story. He told me how he lives on a sailboat in Annapolis, and it's just, like, covered in books. He doesn't have electricity. He's actually a street performer. He juggles for a living, so he doesn't have a whole lot of money. And a lot of his books Because, like, my store, there's, like, 1 cent books, because we take a lot of donation, and basically the goal is, like, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, you should deserve the kind of experience of reading. So, I think his name was Glenn, that's what it was. And, so he came in, he eventually became kind of like a reoccurring customer. You know, he lived in a sailboat, you know, right in a little kind of area right outside mm-hmm. the bookstore. Because, by the way, the bookstore was within like a 5 minute walk of the water, so.
Very close.
Lots of like yachtsmen and like just kind of people that were really connected with the water, which we had a huge selection of like seafaring novels that they just like loved. They couldn't get enough of. So back to the story. So Glenn, like I said, he was a big juggler, and his thing was he could juggle anything. So I said, basically, go and find the most crazy thing you can to juggle, come in and show me a video of it. So he proceeded to go to a restaurant on Main Street, which, like I said, it's a street over from the bookstore. He got a cooler full of live crabs and juggled 3 live crabs. Not even kidding.
Wow.
So just kind of to show you, like, when you work in a bookstore, you get, like, the most diverse, like, interesting, kind of flat-out crazy people, and it's...
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I can see that. I can see how books would really appeal to the masses. I mean, I feel like there's literally a book for everybody.
That's so true. And, like I said earlier, I think another really interesting thing was, we tried to kind of appeal a lot to the, poor, like, public housing areas, and, you know, we would occasionally take, like, a Sunday to just hand out books, or, like, you know, have, like, a little, what was it? We actually did donuts after church one day.
Oh, yeah, my church does that.
Basically would just, like, kind of hand out books to whoever would take them, and eventually we actually got a lot of, customers, and it was really interesting because, I think education is at the heart of poverty, and a lot of people don't really have the experience to, you know, read because they're so busy, you know, just kind of like trying to go through the motions and almost survive. I mean, it's really sad, but it's true. So I think it kind of gave them an escape, it, you know, kind of gave them just an opportunity to step into someone else's shoes, like
yeah,
I said.
And I feel like it would really give them just, like, you know, they could come out of the place they're at, you know, if you're in a rough situation.
Definitely.
If you read a book, you know, say it's something, like, really happy, you know, you could just put your whole entire mindset in a time of peace and tranquility and really just, like, I guess, rejuvenate yourself and get back to where you were, you know, back on track.
And also a big thing was, there was a big sort of, like, socioeconomic separation, I guess, and this kind of, like, was a common meeting ground where people from all sorts of, like, walks of life could come and, you know, have the same experiences, because, like, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, you can always enjoy a book, and like you said, you hit the nail on the head when you said there's a book for everyone, so I think it really just brought a huge diversity of people together, and, We tried to kind of keep the environment social. There was a courtyard in the back with a bunch of chairs. We even had, like, a little, like, sort of pavilion made of old recycled books, which I'll show you a picture of that later. It's sick. So there was, basically we would try to make it so people would be forced to sit together.
Oh, yeah.
And,
even though they're reading.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can get into a conversation while you're walking there and while you're walking out.
So never know. Yeah.
Maybe people were kind of keeping to themselves, but just kind of, you kind of feel a social connection even when you're just sitting near someone. And like I said, there was, I worked in the coffee shop in the back, so there was more, I guess,
coffee
social interaction.
Yeah, when
I guess coffee does cause social interaction. I mean, that energy's got to go somewhere.
social things, but yeah. What do you think about book drives in high school, elementary schools, middle schools, things like that? I mean, I feel like book drives are sort of important. I remember when I was a kid, I hated giving up my books, you know, for these, like, drives for the less fortunate, but I feel like, you know, they really need it. I feel like that's all they really have, and that, like you said, it really does take them out of that sense of sadness, you know, the sense that maybe they're not going to have, like, a great Christmas, or the fact that maybe they're not living in a huge mansion or something, you know. It takes them away from all their regular worries, or, well, I wouldn't say regular, but it takes them away from their worries of, you know, economic status and how much food they can eat. Do you agree? I mean, I certainly hope so, and I'm pretty sure you must, but...
Well, like I said earlier, a big selection of our books are, like, literally a book for 1 cent. It's basically free.
So it appeals to them, yeah.
So, like, almost all those types of books come from donations, and honestly, like, without donations, then we couldn't do what, like, our main purpose is, which is to appeal to everyone no matter what. So I think that by giving up some of your favorite books and kind of doing the book drive, you're basically, you know, doing a service to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
At least one person is benefiting by you just kind of giving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just, like, a big part of just living life. You gotta just give a little bit of something that you have a lot of to, because you know that it's going to benefit someone in some way, and you can always feel happy in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many bookstores are in Annapolis? I mean, I guess around you, like,
okay,
three, four?
It's honestly really hard to tell, because a lot of the businesses in Annapolis are run from basically, like, buildings that look like homes or look like residences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, that's, like, basically how my bookstore is. It looks like a residence. Like, you would think it would be a house.
That's
so right. A lot of businesses in Annapolis are, if you didn't hear about it before, then you're not gonna go into it.
So basically it has to be, like, a recommendation almost, you know?
Yeah, and I think a big reason for that is because, we have a lot of really, really, you know, really, really inexpensive deals, like the whole 1 cent book thing. And if everyone knew about it, because Annapolis, there's a huge tourist industry. Like, at any given time,
I bet.
The occupation of Annapolis is probably, like, more than half tourist. It's a very, very small permanent residence. And I think the whole idea of kind of keeping it hidden and underground is so more the residents benefit from it. So there's not a whole lot of, so basically if I passed a bookstore and I hadn't heard of it, I probably couldn't tell you. But just to take a wild guess, since there's a lot of lawyers, and if you know, lawyers love to read.
Lawyers
love to
read.
I'm guessing there's, like, a pretty high demand for books.
Dang. Well,
let me tell you a story, actually. Sorry to interrupt.
That's
this
fine.
One guy literally came into the store, and he just, like, ordered a whole entire shelf of books.
Really?
He didn't even look at the books. He said, I don't care what they are. I know I'm going to read them. Just give me all of these. And we literally had to, like, cart him down to his house one by one. That was my job. And I actually got the privilege of seeing the inside of his house.
I'm assuming he was big?
I wouldn't say, like, no matter, like, how much money you have, you're not going to be able to afford that big of a house because of the area. The area is super-duper expensive in, like, the heart of downtown. I live, like, right outside the heart of downtown, so it's, like, not as expensive. But this guy, a lot of the houses are old colonials, by the way, so that kind of... But anyway, I think I counted 7 bookshelves.
Jeez.
So,
I can barely handle 1 bookshelf.
I feel you, yeah, like 7, and, you know, I believe that he's read them all. This guy,
Is he smart? Did he seem smart?
I mean, he ran his own law firm, so
he had to
know something.
I'd assume he's smart then.
But you know what they say? They say if you learn more, you earn more. And
that's very true.
Reading books is a great way to learn more, so.
I agree. Well, I agree, in the future. Hopefully I can start reading more.
Hey, man. Don't read because you feel like you have to. Read because you want to. And
I like that. Good advice.
I'll recommend some good books for you after this.
See? Thank you. What's your opinion on big-name bookstores like Barnes & Noble and places like that? Do you like them, or are you more of like a... I guess in your case, you work at sort of like a home shop. Do you prefer like the small family-owned places, or are you a Barnes & Noble fanatic at heart?
I'd say both have their own like kind of different appeals. Like
their own benefits, yeah.
An interesting thing about the bookstore I work at, which is just called Annapolis Bookstore, is you pretty much know like almost everyone's name that come in. Like right. I told you, like eventually I knew Glenn's name and story. There are, you know, plenty of reoccurring. It's almost like reoccurring characters of a television show. It's just the same people. You know their name. You know their children. You know what's going on in their life.
Yeah, and you see him probably every week or bi-weekly, always getting an update.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Barnes & Noble, you just would get so many different people. Obviously, that's not bad, but I feel like there's no personal connection. And I feel like books should be more of a personal connection thing, you know?
I totally agree. Like I said, I think the main goal of the store is to unite people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, there's all sorts of different people, especially like socioeconomically, and the goal is to kind of unite everyone. And you know, once you pass the same person like almost like every week going into a bookstore, you know, you start to kind of indirectly connect with them, you know.
It's like people in your classroom, you know, you see them every day
and it's kind of inevitable you don't say anything, that you're
but
gonna,
eventually you'll be friends, you know, you'll start talking.
It's inevitable. So I think that's... But there's also benefits of, like, bigger chain stores like Barnes & Noble and Borders. Of course, you get, like, a much wider selection. And,
But you might just miss the personal touch, though, so...
Yeah, I think that's really, really important in any business.
Yeah.
But especially one that's...
I think mom and pop shops are definitely a better suit for bookstores, just for the fact of you get that close connection. We're currently at about 17 minutes. Do you want to talk about your favorite book now, or you still want to wait on that one?
I did think about it, and I'm going to have to say Huckleberry Finn.
Really?
You ever read Huckleberry Finn?
I was supposed to read Huckleberry Finn at one point in my life, but I don't think I ever read it, and I'm pretty sure it's still in my room somewhere.
Dude, you're missing out. I love that book, because like I said, like, I'm an adventurer, you know, I like mm-hmm. trying things new, I like exploring, going new places. I'm not trying to live the same story every day. And,
Is that what Huckleberry Finn did? New story every day?
I mean, it was... I just really, really like the adventure aspect of it.
Dang.
And, like I said, I lived Huckleberry Finn's whole entire, you know, experience. I was able to put myself in his shoes and really, like, you know, feel his adventures and, I've always been a fan of adventure novels, and mm-hmm. I think, like, also it kind of, like, it kind of reminded me of, like, the simpler life, you know, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, well, less technology, more
what,
just...
What kids did for fun before they had Xbox. Yeah. And I just, like...
I agree.
Imagine if we were in his shoes, like, what would that be like growing up
Even, like, us growing up, we lived that sort of simple lifestyle where it was just... There's color books, picture books, TV... And then your friends outside.
You consider TV a simple lifestyle?
Oh, maybe not so simple, but as a kid, it was one of the simple things that I had. It was literally mindlessly TV, color books, picture books, and then outside with the friends.
Yeah, I got you. But my big thing was, of course, like, I never had video games growing up. I, you know, I always like to spend time outside, but all of my closest friends were like obsessed with video games. So I never had like a Tom Sawyer. I don't know if you've read Tom Sawyer, but
I know of the story.
Yeah, Tom Sawyer doesn't really make an appearance until the end at Huck Finn, but
dang.
I just like, you know, always been looking for that Tom Sawyer, and I think I got it more and more as I grew older. You know, kids started realizing that there's more to life than just video games and television. So I eventually like read that book and kind of figured out what I needed in my life, like basically someone who was willing to take risks and explore and try things new with me. And I eventually got a great group of friends that, you know, allowed that to manifest with like hiking and sailing and exploring islands on the Severn River and just...
So basically, you know, you're saying books opened you up to, I wouldn't say a new world, but a new path that you could take, you know, a new... Well, also, I would say like a scapegoat, but like a new area for you to like explore and within yourself, you know?
Definitely. On a personal issue. And I've always like knew what I wanted, but I never kind of had any good ideas on how to
get there.
Be adventurous. Mm-hmm. And I think basically like the escape that came from reading books kind of like...
The imagination, you know?
It builds your imagination. And once you have a good imagination, you know, you
think of anything.
You can start thinking of ideas and, you know, you start being more creative. And I think that's why, like, I wouldn't consider myself that smart of a person, but I would consider myself, like, more or less a very creative person. And
creativity is huge.
I think that's why people, like, get the idea that book readers are, you know, some of the more intelligent people. And I think that, you know, you can be really, really smart, and you could be, you know, not so smart, and you can still get enjoyment out of a book if you're creative, and you can kind of use that creativity to, like, I guess, I don't want to say seem smarter, but you can manifest the creativity into intelligence. And so just having the creativity in my life allowed me to, you know, think of new things to try and, you know, ways to explore, and just, like, the city of Annapolis is a great place to do it. There's, like I said, there's all these businesses that no one knows about except for those who have heard about it from a friend, and just basically like discovering some of the mom and pop coffee shops, or, you know, just taking advantage of the awesome like nautical landscape and like the water and like all the islands and the peninsulas and just like one particular story of adventure, which I'm not going to go too into because I'm supposed to talk about books, but there's this one place that I found out. It's literally like a natural water slide. It's like the side of a mountain, but it's like a natural spring.
So like out of a book, you know, something.
Yeah, like I didn't, certain like landscapes that I read about in books, like I didn't know that actually existed, and I never read about something particularly like that, but I guess sort of similar things. I can't think of anything at the top of my head, but yeah, it's definitely, it was interesting because certain things that I like read about in a book or like main character did, I would eventually came to like life. Yeah.
That's really cool. You know what? Thank you so much, AJ. Thank you for letting me interview and for sharing your stories about Annapolis and your whole entire bookstore/coffee store lifestyle and growing up there and your stories. Any last words for anyone?
I just have to say that I've never been a big reader until I tried, and I really think that books can change your life. So if you're not a big reader now, just give it a chance, because I never thought I would be, and without books, my life wouldn't be half as fun, so... Go for it, find a book, and just, you know, try new things. That's all I got to say.
Sweet. Try new things. Thank you, AJ. And have a good one, everyone. Bye.